My beloved brethren, King Benjamin, in, I believe, the second discourse that was ever delivered, said, I do not call you up here that I might trifle with words. I believe the prophet has not called this conference that we would trifle with words. I'd like to discuss a subject, possibly in a matter that could be led into by this little story. Roy Welker, a great writer for church priesthood courses and a great president and priesthood leader, lived in our stake. Another great priesthood leader asked him, Brother Welker, you have known all of the general authorities in your lifetime. Who impresses you the most? And he thought for a minute and he said, oh, they're all wonderful men. I guess they're the greatest men on the face of the earth. And then he said, but I guess Elder Blank impresses me the most because he has a purity of heart for one so young. Ever since I heard that statement, I should say this, Roy Welker, was 92, so anyone under 90 would be judged young in his mind. Anyway, when I heard that statement, from that time on, the thing that I most desired in life was to be pure in heart. I don't believe since I heard that story, there has been a day in my life that I have not thought of purity of heart and tried to improve. I'd like to talk tonight about a self-inflicted purging in every single priesthood holder that we might be pure in heart. And as I told a group of Aaronic priesthood holders out in the congregation tonight, if they're pure in heart, they may sleep through my talk, because this is to those who are not pure in heart. I believe we need to have no longer just a light-wired job, just a little bit of power. I believe it is time, as one great leader has said, to have the full conduit with all of the powers of the priesthood come to those who bear the priesthood. I believe that we need to do some things, and I'm going to use a visual aid tonight, if I could, but we don't have one. So in your mind's eye, would you picture, wherever you are, across the far corners of the earth, would you picture a huge scroll sliding down from the ceiling, and on it the names of those who purchased pornographic literature are listed so that all may see. Is your name on the list? Did you buy a Playboy or other pornographic literature? Now, suppose those names are removed, and all those who attended or viewed X-rated movies, now their names are presented so that all may see who are in the congregation. Again, is your name on the list? Now, my young friends, and sorry to say, many adults, how about all those who have a masturbation problem? If your name was projected, if you had the problem and it was projected across this big, huge scroll, would your name be there, or would you be able to sit back pure in heart and realize that it was not? And in a few cases, what if we had those who have a homosexual problem? What if their names were on this huge scroll, their names removed, and then those who are adulterers, who are serving in priesthood positions unbeknown to many, unbeknown to probably anyone except themselves and the partner in sin. And they have kept this thing. Again, let us talk about a self-inflicted purging. Now, how about my young friends? How about all of those who have committed fornication or been involved in petting? Suppose their names were on this huge scroll so that all may see. Now, I can tell you this. I bear my solemn witness. If you do not self-inflict a purging in your life, the time well may come when there might not be a scroll, but it will be as though it were shouted from the tops of houses. You cannot hide sin. You cannot mock God and hold the Lord's holy priesthood and pretend or propose that you are his servant. I know of a great man who held his son in his arms and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, and by the way, the boy was dead. He held his boy in his arms and said, in the name of Jesus Christ, and by the power and the authority of the holy Melchizedek priesthood, I command you to live. And the dead boy opened up his eyes. That man could not possibly have done it had he been looking at a pornographic piece of material a few nights before or involved in any other transgression of that kind. The priesthood has to have a pure conduit to operate. President J. Reuben Clark gave me a light many years ago on a great, tremendous thing. He said, and these are my words, not his, but transposed to mine, the sex urge does not have to be satisfied. And Satan's old lie is that it does have to be satisfied. I'm sorry to tell you this, there are men in high places who have some fairly major moral problems, even as youth do have the same problem on the same thing. We shouldn't have a problem with masturbation. I know one fine father who interviewed his son when he was 11, and he said, "Son, if you never masturbate, the time will come in your life when you'll be able to sit in front of your bishop at age 19 and say to him, 'I have never done that in my life.' And then you can go to the stake president when you're interviewed for your mission and tell him, 'I have never done that in my life,' and you'd be quite a rare young man." The father interviewed the boy some time back, 3 or 4 months or so, and he said to the son, asked the son about masturbation, and the son said, who is 18, by the way, now, "I've never done that in my life. You told me, Dad, that if I didn't do that, I'd be able to sit in front of the bishop and the stake president, tell them I've never done it, and I'd be a rare young man, and I'm going to be able to do it." I believe, brethren, that we have the willpower. We don't have to buckle under Satan's temptations. That urge does not have to be satisfied. It has to be transmuted to other things. Now, let me spend no more time on this. Let me talk about another thing that keeps us from being pure in heart. We need to purge out of our lives the desire to come to meetings late and leave early. Last conference I attended in the assembly hall. I was at the priesthood meeting. At the close of our great and beloved prophet's wonderful discourse and counsel to us, at least 200 or 300 men got up and started just moving in mass toward all the doors. The closing hymn hadn't been sung, the prayer hadn't been rendered, and these men, inconsiderate, lacking in discipline, simply got up and moved out of the assembly hall to save 5 minutes. I wonder, brethren, and I love you, but I just wonder how you can do it. I don't see any of the men that I prize most leaving meetings early unless in an emergency. I believe they have the dignity, and it's an offense to God, I believe, when we leave meetings early and leave meetings early and then come late. I saw up at Farragut here a year ago or so, right in the middle of our giant priesthood meeting, wonderful brethren, I guess 5,500 scouts and their leaders, right in the middle, a scoutmaster, deacon's quorum advisor with his deacons and scouts, stood up, and then 12 boys stood up with him, and trailed all across that mighty congregation of men and left. I wonder what he felt the next time he raised his arm to the square and said, "On my honor, I will do my best to do my duty to God and to my country, to obey the scout law, to help other people at all times, to keep myself physically strong, mentally awake, and morally straight." And yet the oath we take in the priesthood is how many more times serious to us? And what a valuable thing it is in our lives if we let it guide us. We had another problem. An overweight girl from Ogden went to see her bishop. He counseled her, it might be a good idea to lose a few pounds in the purity and sweetness of charity, trying to help the girl. She went home and told her father, pitifully heartbroken, it had cankered her soul. The father, of course, negative all of his life, waiting for something like this, sprung like a cat on the bishop's back, and they came down to see me. They wanted their memberships transferred out of the bishop's ward. And then I asked them why. I didn't know all this background, and they said, well, our bishop suggested to our daughter that she might lose a few pounds and make herself a little more attractive. Now, I want you to know I defended that great bishop. I said to this family, you're wrong. Do you know that sweet bishop, out of purity and love for your daughter, felt and did that which he was impressed to do? I'm sure a message from God, had God been there, to your daughter, and she let it canker her soul. The strange thing is, she was probably up in her bedroom the night before saying, Heavenly Father, I'm lonely. I need someone. Please help me. Help me to find someone so I won't be so lonely. And yet we oftentimes are offended because the bishop gives us some instruction. Now, as you can tell, this isn't a sugar-coated presentation. It's Clorox, and as somebody said, and I hope you're not offended. I think it's irreverent, brethren of the priesthood, to come and be there late and then perform your assignments at the sacrament table late while they're beginning. What an irreverent thing this is to prepare the sacrament of the Lord's Supper and do it just before the meeting started, and to be hurrying around and joking about it. It ought to be a sweet experience, one that's a spiritual experience, where it's all done in quiet and 10 minutes or 15 minutes before the meeting is completed, no one sees the preparation. They come in and the sacrament table is set. Or those who are irreverent in meetings. I think the Lord expects his priesthood holders, above all others, to be reverent. I was over in England a while back, and a bishop said, "What is the church's stand on cola drinks?" I said, "Well, I can't remember the exact bulletin, but I remember the priesthood bulletin when I was a stake president. The church, of course, advises against it." He said, "Well, I've read the priesthood bulletin, but that isn't what it says to me." And I said, "Would you get your priesthood bulletins and let's read it together?" And so we found under the heading, cola drinks, the church advises and now does specifically advise against all harmful drinks with harmful drugs. He said, "Well, you see, that doesn't mean cola." I said, "Well, I guess you'll have to come to your own grips with that. But to me, there's no question. You see, there isn't the slightest particle of rebellion. And in him, there is. We can find loopholes in a lot of things if we want to bend the rules of the church." I remember meeting with a man some time back, and his wife, 17 years ago, had a problem. She embraced another man in a moment of weakness, and then this was kept a secret for 17 long years. And this good brother who had kept the law, had never violated the code, all of a sudden he found out about this, and it almost totally destroyed him. He came to see me and he said, "What do you think I should do?" Tears swept down his cheeks. And I said, "You must forget and forgive. And when I say forget, it must be taken from your mind forever and ever." And he said, "But I can't. I can't get it off of my mind seeing her in someone else's arms." And I said, "Then you remember what it was in the temple and you view her in your mind every time kneeling across the altar from you." I said, "I'm sure she has been punished enough and suffered enough, and she needs no more. She has repented, and you forgive her." Well, he took that and was kind enough to do it. Another case of those who talk about the Adam God theory. I guess when they talk about all these different theories and things in the church that they don't have time to study faith and repentance. Maybe we ought to get back to the basics. And when they understand everything about faith, then move on to the next principle. Now, my beloved brethren, whether it's patriotism or purity or whatever it is, we must be pure. We must no longer have just a light-wired job. We must have the conduit of all the powers of the priesthood upon us. And then when someone calls upon us to administer to the sick or to give a blessing of any kind, when they call upon us to speak, we'll be as a conduit and speak as God would do. Now the Lord bless you. This is the greatest group of men collected, I guess, on the face of the history of the earth, in the history of the earth. And I'm grateful to be part of it and grateful to be associated with those men who are most pure in heart. They truly are. I bear that solemn witness, and that our beloved prophet probably is the most pure in heart of any and all I've ever known. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.